Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Our story's just beginning, our adventure never ends. The saga of the heroes that they call the Dragon Friends.
The rain is heavy and carries the sting of salt in it as you make your way out of the ship line. You are escorting Janos Mir, the Beggar King of Waterdeep, away from the docks and to the safety of his sewer home. Janos paid you to ensure his safety tonight, and the black barbed crossbow bolt lodged below his shoulder is proof that you could have done a better job of it. But the fact that he is alive at all means something, and bizarrely, the Beggar King seems to be in a good mood.
Oh, this is great. Just like old times, you're there, got an arrow in me shoulder. I think I'm dying.
The ambush tonight means that the grim animosity between Janos' organization and the Shipwrights Guild has finally tipped over into outright war. That the Shipwrights would be this bold means that they must have found powerful and wealthy new friends, and copper pieces to platinum say that those new friends would be found in Waterdeep's newest guild, the House of the Artificers. You guys remember that house?
Robots.
Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't... I hate that word. I think we had this conversation last time.
Robots?
That's it. Robots.
Robots.
Is that Janos?
Robots? it's all going hazy. I'm saying all the words I know. Robots. Swords. Pants. Arrow.
Filch!
You managed to get Janos back to his hideout beneath the city, but not before he has lost a lot of blood and has started ranting, apparently. With Janos' primary healer, Clodric, still missing, there is no one to immediately treat him. So it is decided that he needs to be taken to one of the city's temples. So Filge and Bobby, you take him to the only temple that you know, just outside the guild's entrance inside the cities, where you are greeted at the door by a higher wearing four pairs of sunglasses and a baker's costume.
Hey, Friezo!
Hey! Wow, he's really hurt!
Oh, yeah! Look at this! And then he wiggles the arrow and more blood comes out.
Ooh, how he do it!
Well, looks like I have something you want, which is...
The Temple of Mister is, of course, a charitable organization, but go
on. Access to this charitable temple. And you have something I want, which is that arrow.
Oh, you drive a hard bargain, you big wizard. Yeah, I accept your terms.
Excellent. I will bring you in as I have the authority to do. And having brought you in here, healers, come and heal this man.
Friezo claps his hand twice and two rather irritated temple acolytes appear.
Okay, you know it's my break. You know, this is my downtime when I sit there and I think, like, oh, what can I do? Maybe I can read a book or do some study. Like, this is Hans' time.
What is this, Downtime Abbey?
That got a mixture
That was
of...
a groan followed by a sympathy laugh.
And then, like, Hans just stares at you and then he's like, oh, wait, that's quite funny. Okay, let's get him patched up.
They whisk Janos away, but before he goes, he has one last lucid moment and he grips Bobby's shoulder.
Ow!
Bobby!
Ow!
You saved my life, man.
Sorry, can I just stop? Is that Bobby's... What is that?
Oh, it's a cat in the background.
No, he's gripping my shoulder so hard.
Oh, no, but is that Bobby's voice now? Is that...
No, he just... Ow! He got hurt.
All right.
I grip your shoulder.
What?
I grip your shoulder.
Ow!
It's like Earthworm Jim.
So are we both gripping Bobby's shoulder?
So Phil...
I'm just doing it because I like the noise that it makes.
Bobby, you saved my life.
Ow.
Come here.
Ow.
You've always been like a son to me, Bobby.
Ow.
I'm sorry about all the names I called you. Bobby shit dick.
Ow.
Bobby shit lies.
Ow.
Bobby handshakes. I've not got much time, Bobby. You've done me many a great service. Now it's my opportunity to do one for you. You've been on the run for a murder you didn't commit. There's a lady. She's a Grand Inquisitor. And I know where she is. If you find her, maybe you could convince her to clear your name.
Janos.
No, I'm fine. I've just got... It's an unrelated ailment. She's got sort of a cough before the fight.
Hans, and what's your diagnosis of this?
Okay, he's got like an arrow in his shoulder and he's got like the sniffles. And like if I'm thinking clear, I treat the arrow first and then the sniffles.
Yeah, that seems
Hans
like
is an expert of triage. Obviously.
Yeah. Like Dr. ABC, danger, yeah, I treat the, yeah, good.
Dr. Arrow...
Doctor,
danger,
arrow, big cough. So he's got the arrow and then the big cough. So I treat the arrow first.
Anyway, now listen. I was not, aware that everyone else was still in the room. There's going to be a meeting tonight of a shady cult that I can only hint at the possibilities of their power in Waterdeep. It goes well beyond my petty station. But I know where they're meeting, and I know how you can get in. Go to the sewers, see my quartermaster. He'll tell you what to do.
And then he falls asleep, and he's like, nye, 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 nye.
Janos is already being dragged into the inner cloisters of the temple, where presumably he will receive the treatment that befits a man of his station and power.
Before that, can we go through his pockets?
You can try. Hans and Hans's friend Ulrich. Are still there.
Hans, do you want to take a break for a bit?
Oh my goodness, I do.
Okay.
Thank you. Come on, Rick.
Finish your cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
And I will mind this body for a bit.
It's a filthy habit. Leads to a lot of BC. That's big coughing.
Okay, convincing Hans to leave the passed out beggar king of Waterdeep at the foot door of the temple is definitely a bluff test. I'm going to call it a challenging bluff test. All so right. That is DC 15.
17. Nailed it.
All right.
So what do I find in his pockets, DM?
Hans leaves, and inside... Well, you can take the arrow that you had your eye on for a start.
Are we taking it out right now?
Yeah, I'm breaking it off.
What? If you break it off, it'll be much harder for them.
All right, I'll rip it out then.
I think in many ways that's worse.
You're asleep.
Inside his pockets, you find... 2d6 gold pieces, you find 11 gold pieces.
Excellent.
And you also find a tin whistle that looks to be of extreme sentimental but trivial financial value.
I take them both.
All right. All right. You can write tin whistle with love your father inscribed on it.
And as you leave the temple, you hear like a croak from him being like, you're going to be okay, Janos. You've got your lucky whistle. And then you hear like as he's patting, go, no!
And even the birds sort of are ruffled that are sitting on top of the temple by the sound of agony that comes out of this grown man's chest. You, having killed another person's dreams, make your way down to meet the quartermaster, presumably, or are you going to...
Yeah, head on down. Yeah.
All right, the four of you for Dilge, you still have nothing better to do.
Yeah, Dilge just happy to be out of the house.
For those that missed this last month, of course, Dilge is Filge's half-brother, the big city half-orc, who is showing them about town. So there's a picture of him. The four of you make your way down into the court of the Beggar King, the first place that you arrived in Waterdeep, and a bustling...
Get your way! Hats!
Don't do it again.
Finest bread in all of Waterdeep!
I swear to God.
Rye bread!
A place that we have been many times before. Making your way into the building, you find yourselves in the quartermastery of the Beggar King, a place... which is ruled over by a surprisingly litigious goblin who you have recognized.
And he looks up and he's like, oh, fuck! And he, like, kind of just shrinks.
Is that little Griblos?
Gribble!
Gibgob!
Glabglue!
Gribbins!
Little Glabblue!
Okay, it's Gribbins, and it's actually Gribbits, but...
Gribble Grabgroo!
Oh, my God, I didn't think I'd ever see you guys again. I thought you'd left.
Well, what do you mean you thought we'd left? You left us to try and get through the gates by ourselves without our lawyer's help.
Yeah, well...
You were sworn to protect us.
No,
by
I
us.
I wasn't. Look, oh, okay, it's you guys. He said some people might be around. Okay, is this about the meeting tonight?
Yeah, what's the deal?
Okay, sweet as. Cool, talking to you guys again. Awesome. Hey, look, so there's this cult in town. The Glitter Man, that stuff by the docks, it all flows back to them. And, well, you can infiltrate them tonight if you want. And, I don't know, I think Janos had some plan to affix this somewhere, and he takes out of a drawer this kind of like this hemisphere, this gold-looking hemisphere with sort of clockwork inside of it, and he sort of hands it to him, Friezo.
Actually, Friezo, do you want to actually quickly make, just for me, an arcana check? This is just a moderate arcana check. So.
Yep, I got 12.
Oh, what is that?
That'll do.
Excellent.
All right, so you recognize...
Oh, it's to see if you can understand what the magical thing is.
Yeah. Oh.
What is it?
This is quite a common magical item, okay? It's just called a whisperer, and the way it works is that you wind it up, and then for the next 2 days, it records everything that is said in earshot, and then if you retrieve it, you can... have it play back.
Hugh Grant used in, not important.
No, keep going.
In the British phone hacking scandal of several years ago when he had that spy pen. Hey, guys.
Yes, just like that.
What? We just kind of fantasied a tape recorder.
Yeah.
And your thing for a tape recorder... But just something that records sound. You're on a podcast right now.
You're on a podcast and you work in radio.
Yeah, because
you also work in radio.
Because he's got a little pen in his pocket and it records things. It's Hugh Grant. Are you getting Hugh Grant
confused with James Bond?
No, Hugh Grant is an actor. James Bond is a spy, which is a type of actor.
I just want to get to the bottom of this Hugh Grant character.
When you're on television, which you are frequently, and they've recorded your voice to go on television,
they say,
do you think Hugh Grant is sitting in the studio with you with a pen in his pocket? That's the only way to record.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frank, it's a very wasteful system they've got at the NBC.
Dave, can I also roll to comprehend what it is?
Absolutely. So for you, because you are...
I have failed.
All right. He hands him a golden pill, which you think makes it easier to listen to things.
Okay. Oh,
Dilge think I got this under control.
Hey, super don't eat that. Okay.
Hey, Gribbons, what's the plan? Why are we doing all of this?
Okay, look. Janos reckons that if he can understand the inner workings of this cult a little bit better, he can bring them down. But before that, he needs information. The plan is to just go in there, put the whisperer in there, get out as soon as you can, and we'll be sweet. I think there's somebody in there too. A person who thinks you murdered people, which actually, in retrospect, I think you might have.
When you say we, does that mean you're coming with us, Gribbles?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It's just if you...
And Gribbets actually takes out, because he's in an inventory room, takes out two sets of handcuffs and handcuffs his arm and his foot to the desk.
Can I pick up the desk?
Yeah.
It's a pretty heavy oak desk.
It's a heavy oak desk. There's DC 20.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not gonna make it much more challenging because Gribbets doesn't weigh very much.
Wait,
because
I've got
he
to
hasn't
roll
been
a
eating.
Perfect 20.
Well, no, you add your strength modifier.
Yeah, you got plus 4 strength. So 18.
18 plus 4, 22.
Yes! Okay.
Everybody is silent as Gribbets' pathetic gesture to handcuff himself to the desk is made. Without blinking, while staring him down, Filge rests both hands on the desk and pulls it out. It's like secured to the ground, but
yeah.
Snaps the feet of it like twigs and then places the desk on her shoulder, leaving Gribbets 90-degree angle chained to the desk.
But then I change my mind and I strap the table to my front so it's like a little baby carrier and I rope it around my chest.
Do you have some rope?
I got some rope, you can borrow.
Oh, yeah, I've got... Yeah, I'll borrow that rope.
Yep.
Thanks.
Oh, great.
I tie it around and then I give him a little kiss on top of the head.
Okay, I am going to make you, for the rest of the adventure, as long as you have Gribbets in your baby carrier, roll disadvantage to combat and all feats of dexterity. But if you're happy with that, you now have a small goblin lawyer strapped to your chest. Congratulations.
Also, the benefits of it are goblin shield.
I imagine you look kind of like Krang.
Sorry.
Well, we are in the sewers.
Yeah. So Krang is from an age in the mid-90s, similar to Hugh Grant's popularity. He's a villain in the Ninja Turtle franchise, Dave.
We had a conversation to you just before this. What was it?
I'm sorry. Okay, let's keep going.
All right, let's go. We go see Colt.
Okay, as you make your way, a reluctant Gribbets... Oh, actually, how does Gribbets react to all of this?
Yeah, oh, this is great. This is so... Gosh, this is just... Oh, and on my 21st birthday.
Oh, sorry, me Dilge. We didn't actually know each other.
Oh, g'day, Dilge. Nice to meet you. This is the best.
Hey,
look. This is my baby Gib-Gob.
Wow. He's so pleasant. And I give him a little peck on the forehead. I give him a smooch.
Oh, I'm getting kissed by a bunch of half-orcs today.
Hey, Glibbles, I know we are in a rush, but as it is your birthday, would you like this shiny tin whistle?
Oh, actually, I'd love that.
All right,
thank you.
If you stay with us for the rest of the thing, you can have it. All right.
What a lucky Gribblin.
So, guys, look, it's not really as simple as just walking into the thing. You're going to need robes and you're going to need a password.
All right, where do we get these robes and passwords from, Gribbles?
Oh, God, maybe I should just do everything for you.
Well, you're coming anyway, so...
Well, I know that the robes are made by the artificers. Maybe you could go there.
Okay. And the password?
I don't know the password, you psychopath! Password, I don't know. Maybe go find somebody in town who used to be part of this. Just talk to somebody.
Were you part of it before?
No, they wouldn't let me in.
Why not?
I have flat feet.
Gribbins, for that is his name, regardless of what you insist on calling him, fills you in a little bit more. So there is a cult forming in Waterdeep, and it is a fraternity of many of the guilds that form Waterdeep, both the newest and the oldest, and they're making a play for power in the city. You've already met the House of the Artificers, who are possibly running this cult. Another cult that are providing muscle is Albrecht Rumsfeld's Shipwrights Guild, who you all have also tangled with. So in order to get in, you're going to need to be able to find a way to get into this meeting, which is happening tonight at High Harvest's Eve underneath the House of the Artificers. Now, as Gribbets has... I'm doing it now. Oh, I'm sorry, Gribbets.
Wait, does that mean that Gribbets' birthday is on High Harvest Eve?
Yes.
Is that awkward? Does he not get High Harvest Eve presents?
It's sad because he gets one present for both things.
And it's always a tin whistle. Or never a tin whistle.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
No, so he's told you that you're going to need to get robes from the House of the Artificers to elect to get yourselves in.
That convenient? It's just upstairs.
Sorry?
Who's she talking to?
What are you talking about, Phil?
I fall asleep.
Oh, sorry, we've taxed her brain too much.
And you're also going...
Hey, guys. Her head's sort of crushing my head.
As long as she doesn't roll over and sleep on her stomach, you'll be fine.
All right, so we go up to the surface.
And before you go, hey, look, like... Remember that medallion that you stole, the amulet?
I still have that, yes.
Yeah, great. We'll bring that with us because that'll make the costume better because it's from the cult.
All right.
Great. I really now have a...
You actually don't have it with you, but
I've got a medallion.
You didn't cross
That's
it off then.
That's made of chocolate, mate. Right.
Oops, sorry.
Now I have a vested interest in at least Phil surviving, so I guess I'll help out. Let's go. Happy birthday to
And nobody joins in.
So we can sing at the end.
It's in the public. It's
in the public domain, though. So maybe we should all.
So we make our way to this robe. These robe designers.
Okay. If you going to try and get your hands on the robes, obviously there's a couple of ways you could do this. You might have your own ideas. The House of the Artifice is heavily locked down, protected by glitter men on all entrances. But there are also tailors around the city.
Hey, Friezo, didn't you just go to a a costume store and buy a chef's baker's outfit?
A baker's outfit,
you
yes.
did, that
why
is true.
Why don't we go back there and trade it in for some robes?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of my dream, but all right. No, if you think this is more important than my dreams, you're right.
Which dream is it? The terrifying one or the even more terrifying one?
The one where I get to be a baker and then everyone I love dies. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to go to the costume shop.
We went to the, like, it was like an outfitter's.
It was, yeah, it was like an urban outfitters. Yeah.
I remember this. It was General Pantaloons, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
Go back to General Pantaloons. I think I remember Steen's character.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so you head back to General Pantaloons, which is, of course, a member of the Tailors, Glovers, and Mercers Guild of Waterdeep. And
oh, hey guys, how can I do? How can I help you?
Hey, I bought this baker's outfit about a couple of days ago.
You're still wearing it, right?
This one that I'm wearing right now.
Oh, that was like literally yesterday.
Yeah, and as you can see, it is not as flattering as I imagined.
Okay.
And you told me, you specifically told me it was going to be a solution to all of my problems. So I certainly imagine you said that. Anyway... do you have anything in a sort of an artifice robe that I could trade this in for?
It'd suit every figure.
Sorry, you guys are after, like, artificers' robes? Like, official ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, or, like, close, just like a cosplay thing.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we have non-official ones, but, like, I gotta tell you, you can tell the difference.
What, you can? Or just, like, would a guard be able to tell the difference, do you think?
It really depends on what kind of guard.
Like a regular guard.
So it's probably a guard with, like, non-specific English accent.
probably one of two guards, one of which likes his job and another one which doesn't.
Well, he sounds like a really rich and rewarding character.
You'd think that, wouldn't you?
What make robes official?
Oh, well, I mean, you've got the special material, you've got the special crest, you've got the special stitching... But I mean, like, take a look at this.
And underneath the counter, he pulls out what is unmistakably official robes of the House of Artifice. You recognize the plush velvet of the robes. You see the fine stitching. You see the unmistakable, almost impossible to forge, double cog sigil that is the icon of the house.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's mine. And then he closes the box like in Pretty Woman.
I pull my hand back.
Hey, Gribbles!
Oh, yeah, hi.
Wait, look,
is that like a Krang thing?
We need your help. Do you want this tin whistle or not?
You know what?
Not that badly.
Yeah, not that badly.
Okay, just use your legal speak and tell the General Pantaloons person that we need to commandeer this robe for, like, police purposes.
Hi, Heather. are you familiar with Waterdeep consumer law? Very, yes.
Gribbets takes a small, very tired and dog-eared copy of the Waterdeep Consumer Practices Act that he has secured inside his jerkin.
Well, I've got to tell you that the customer isn't satisfied with the clothing you've given him, and you may have misrepresented to him the quality.
Help me, get me out of here.
The quality and the police, I will give you anything if you get me out of here. That doesn't sound like the law. You could be in a lot of trouble if you don't...
If I may step in.
Do you grab the textbook?
Yeah. Me understanding of consumer law is anything in shop is for sale.
Now, me no may not be big city lawyer, but me, Dilge, certainly am. Hello. Hi. Okay, well, yeah, okay.
We take rope.
Okay, well, you have got me there, according to consumer law. It has to be for sale. So let me just, and he takes out, like, a kind of a steampunk pricing gun. And he's like, ka-chink. And he's like, yeah, that's like 1,000 gold pieces.
May also believe that product for sale is this right, brother? Must be at marked price of what is displayed.
Yes.
Me brother work magic shop. Yeah. And if there was zero price on box, it mean robe cost $0.
That is definitely Filge logic, and I love it. So this is what I'm going to do for you. All right, we're going to call this a moderate check. So we'll call this DC 12, maybe. And I'm going to give you advantage because you're backed up by your big brother and because that was just kind of lovely. And you have to make a performance judicial practices check, which is going to be...
I've got no bonuses for
so
that.
So you just need to roll two dice.
And I've got no charisma.
Roll two dice, and one of them has to be higher than 12. And know that if you tried to scare him, you would have...
Oh, one of them got a 7 and a 13.
That will do it. Advantage. Congratulations. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is going to ruin my life. This isn't mine.
We don't have time for your story. Give us the robes.
This is my boss's, which... my father's, who asked me to mine it for him just for like 2 hours, so... Wow!
Hey,
Yeah?
What's your dad's name?
Clive.
Clive who?
Yeah, Clive who?
Clive who, okay. Clive well, who? We'll be sure to, drop it back to him when we're done with it.
Oh.
Clive who? Bobby makes a mental note.
Okay, and then like in a daze, he just sort of hands you the box.
I snatch it up and I say... big mistake. Big. Huge. And then we all walk out of the shop.
Okay, congratulations. Inside you discover...
Now, I can only hope that Clive, who is a very, very tall man, which will allow all of us to stand on each other's shoulders...
Yeah, unfortunately, you're correct. There is...
What?
No, I mean, you're correct in the problem. There is one robe inside. It is a humanoid... sized robe. It would easily fit Friezo.
Oh boy.
It would make Bobby look frankly ridiculous, and it would be insulting to ask Filge or Dilge to wear it, let alone Dilge on Filge's shoulders, as Dilge is already seeming to physically indicate. There is one robe.
And Gribbets is strapped to her front.
Yeah, do you sell anything in like a half-orc with a goblin and a table strapped to her size? Oh, just more unrealistic standards of beauty that aren't accepting to the modern half-orc with a goblin strapped to her.
Phil is just getting ready in a cosplay from a Running Man costume that she's working on.
No one gets your reference.
No one gets my reference.
And you had a go at me for Spy Pen and Crank.
If anybody, we have people that listen. We have a few people that listen to this in America. We have a few people that listen to this in Europe. If anybody gets my reference, can you just mail in? Let me know. Because
yes,
I just
please
want...
use mail. Regular snail mail.
In fact, Dave Harmon, will now give out my street address.
Care of Giant Dwarf Theatre, Cleveland Street.
199 Cleveland Street. Send us some mail.
Yeah, send us some fan mail.
Yeah, sure. 199 oh, Street, Redfern. Mail. Yeah.
Oh, New South Wales, Australia. All
right, so I guess that the ball has been passed to charismatic Friezo to break into this temple with these humanoid robes.
That is definitely a possibility. That does mean that you're going to be going in completely without backup, without support.
Maybe we should go back into the store and get the fake ones, and then Friezo can vanguard it, and we'll just like blend in behind him.
Mm. I'm for that.
Okay, so you walk back into the store you just kind of made a big display of walking out of?
Yeah. I walk in, I'm like, still big mistake.
Hey, who?
As you walk in, you realize that he's not paying attention to the door because the clerk seems to be being browbeaten by a middle-aged man.
He's like, what were you thinking? Didn't you know that if you don't put a price on something, it's free? He's like, I didn't know, Dad. I'm really sorry. I just feel bad. And oh, look, they're back.
They both turn to look at you.
It us.
Hi. Are we interrupting something?
Hey, guys, not at all. And then Gribbet says something. He's like, hey, can I just have a real quick huddle with you guys for just 2 seconds?
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
What? Okay. Hey, guys. Has it occurred to you that if this guy's father has robes... this guy is probably in the cult and probably doesn't want to see you buying the robe so you can sneak in.
I roll for initiative!
It's clobbering time.
Serious?
I guess we have to kill him now, right?
No.
Yeah, the only way to defend someone is kill him in front of their son, you sociopath.
Well, you want to create another Batman?
Don't worry, look, we know...
I have the rules for commoners here. If you want to do that.
All right. Well, here's
the problem that you have right now, and you can decide how you're gonna outline it. Right? He's like, yeah, Dad, it was those guys. And he's like, oh yeah, hi, Clive, who here?
Sorry, who?
Oh, it's very amusing. hey, look.
Excuse me. Are you on first?
Oh, they get that. They get that.
Oh gosh, you know, that just every bloody time that gets me right in the old funny bone, and it's here. And then he points to his dick.
Now me no big city doctor.
Oh yeah, hey guys, my priceless robe being gone notwithstanding, I'm a little bit curious. As to why you're trying to acquire a robe hitherto, I understood, secret society.
I told you, we're in too deep!
No, I'll handle this. As his son's like, hey, maybe we should just, yeah. So?
Why is everyone looking at Bobby?
Look, what, all right, what, I guess we're gonna make this happen.
No. There's too much blood been spilled. me and sister, part of roving band street performer looking to make satirical work on Waterdeep government, very pro-cult. We need authentic robes for full experience to clothe the hero of the piece, a handsome cult member called Clive.
Where?
Check,
that's or? A bluff check that is being done by Dilge.
Oh no! Oh no!
So it's deception, charisma based.
Cool. Can I cast the spell Friends on him? It's a cantrip.
Oh yeah. Tell me, what's the casting time?
Concentration up to casting time one action.
Okay. Yeah. So as you say that, you also wave your hands, and I think
to bring the rich world of my theatre to life.
Absolutely. What's the say for that?
There is none.
You cannot save but be friends with you if you do that.
Yep. That's how it works, man. Networking rules. Okay, fine.
Okay, so you whisper some... what sounds a lot like gibberish, but you insist is actual magic. And yeah, great. So you've now... this gives you advantage on charisma check. So you can roll now two dice and pick the highest one. Because now Clive Who is your friend.
Cool. What's the saving... what's DC to beat?
Look, the DC for that is hard because that is a lot of bullshit.
Well, that's bad because I'm at a -1.
But you got advantage.
Yeah.
So that is DC 20. So you need to roll a natural 20.
You know what's funny? I still don't know what DC means.
And you never will.
18 and 7.
All right, that's it. Looks like Friezo's going to solve this for everyone once again.
All right, Friezo, you got surprised. So what's your first action?
I'm witch bolting this. No.
You
want me to kill the father or the son first? That's the choice you get to make.
Just knock him out.
We're having this conversation in the world, right? Like, this is something that Friezo is screaming. And we're all holding him back. And then I come forward and try to pitch a street theater. And then Frieza's like, who wants to die?
All right,
did he just say the father or the son first? Is that what he shouted?
Yes, casting am very difficult. Not sure who to build production around.
6 seconds, Frieza. What do you do?
Let's do it.
Okay,
then we can take all the robes we need.
It's your action, Frieza. What do you
mean? All right, I roll a 17, so that probably hits.
What are you doing?
That will hit.
I'm casting a witch bolt. Oh. Give me the spell book.
And this is also all happening. Give me the spell book.
We don't give him the spell book.
There's a reason we have the spell book.
All right, and then I do 1d12 of damage.
Yep. Oh.
Should I try and knock him out?
Yeah, knock him out.
All right, I've had enough. I've seen enough, and I don't want my poor son Gib Gob to see any more.
All right, I will let you have a surprise round also on Friezo, and these both will happen simultaneously.
No, you mean knock out these guys, not knock me out.
No, I want to knock you out.
Come on, I'm redirecting this witch. No,
okay, you have disadvantage because you have a goblin strapped to your chest, so roll two dice, and lowest number.
This one?
Friezo's armor class is 14.
And I got...
18 and 8.
18 and 8.
All right, you swing and miss, and Friezo...
And Grimmett's in the head instead. Who goes out cold. Yeah. Grimmett, like, hey, cool!
And you do, is it D10, I believe, was it?
He fast asleep.
No, I did 1D12, which was 6 plus 5 to hit, so 11 damage. No,
plus 5, really?
Oh, plus 5 to hit? No, is that... Yeah,
that's that was to hit.
Oh, that's to hit.
Yeah.
How do you not know this off by heart by now?
1d12 worth of damage.
So you did 6 damage?
Yes, I did 6
damage. Okay, congratulations. Did you hit the father or the son?
Don't make us choose.
Sophie's witch bolt choice.
I will hit the father.
The father.
Because the real tragedy is when a parent has to watch their son.
Work at General Pantaloons.
All right, commoners have 4 hit points, so Clive, who is dead. And his son sees his flesh melt and pool on the ground.
Good news is all this is yours now.
You've always wanted to have your own shop, right?
I've never wanted to have my own. Oh my god.
Oh really? You don't want the shop? Can we have it then?
What? No.
Just the robes. Can we just have the robes?
And then he just vomits everywhere.
As he's incapacitated, I grab a length of rope and I just bind him and just tie him.
Okay.
Please not cry too loud. It wake Grib Grub baby.
He is shaking, vomiting, and tears are pouring down his face, so he doesn't put up much of a fight, and you tie him to the bench.
I am so sorry. Friezo, you are going to...
I just saved this party from having to deal with that guy's talking.
You just saved us from having to pay for robes.
We are going to have a very serious talk about this once we're no longer in terrible danger.
So inside General Pantaloons, while you're trussing up the sun... you see that there's the robe still there. I mean, you still have the robe, but then there are also the kind of slight knockoff imitation robes.
Oh, I have a question. What was Clive wearing? Was he wearing one of the robes?
No, he was wearing
chinos.
He
was wearing whatever it was. It's burnt up now, so
he was wearing fantasy chinos.
Right.
And the tabard of the Guild of Mercers, all the guilds in Waterdeep.
I don't mean to be too grisly, but was it a headshot or did I hit the clothes?
Yeah, you can get it, but there's molten flesh and it smells of molten flesh.
Right.
You also, wear that one.
All right. No, also, I've got the good one. The good one fits me. You guys can pick around
we
the
We
scraps.
Grab all of them, we put them into your bag of the bag of holding, and we empty the cash register. Because in for a penny, in for a pound...
We make this look like robbery. We all get out of this alive.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Phil, can you clock that crying boy on the head, please?
I'll put him out of his misery.
Not to death, just...
Knock him out! That said, I think she does need to do a dexterity check to see if she accidentally kills him.
Are you going to try and knock him out?
Or Dilge.
Either or.
Oh, yeah, maybe knock him out enough so he doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, cool. That's a tricky thing to do. We'll call that, not that tricky, we'll call it easy, so DC 10. So you've just got to roll and beat 10 on your dexterity.
She's got disadvantage because she's
strength.
Got a table strap.
You have disadvantage because you have a goblin lawyer strapped to your chest.
All right. I take a swing and I say, I told you it was big mistake. I got a...
You got a 17. You got a 19. You nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah, 19.
You clock him and he falls into a merciful sleep and dreams a dream where his father is not dead.
Me like Men in Black.
The dragon friends still have to find the password to get into the cultist meeting, which we'll see if they can manage to do after interval. Would you please put your hands together for your DM, your bard, and our players?
Dragon Friends is DM'd by David Harmon with NPCs played by me, Ben Jenkins. The cast is Alex Lee, Simon Greiner and Michael Hing. Our bard is Benny Davis. Our special guest this week was Tom Walker. Thanks so much for listening.
Our story's just beginning, our adventure never ends. The saga of the heroes that they call the Dragon Friends.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.